We all have to learn how to trust again. Trust innately ourselves. And through the trust of self, we trust the mother, we trust the father, we trust God, source, creation, etc.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate, inspire women in their authenticity, in their power, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I am a womb shaman, an activator of Kundalini Shakti, and the Ecstatic Life Mentor. And my beloveds, today is a solo episode. And if you're watching the or seeing a clip or watching this, you'll notice my background is different because I am getting ready to move. And today our conversation is about trusting the process. I thought it would be really fun if I brought through the story of this process, because we all have to learn how to trust again, trust innately ourselves. And through the trust of self, we trust the mother, we trust the father, we trust God, source, creation, etc. And through that trust, we enable faith. And guess what? They're different. So maybe we'll go over that today as well. So using my current experience as an example, and this has been many times how this has shown up for me. Similar, but different. Same, same, but different. And this particular one is about moving. So my partner and I used to live in Colorado, and in 2021, I was told to leave. And I had to trust the process then as well. And we are now being told to go back. So in March of 2023, so last year, when we went to visit, I had this really strong hit that we were going to move back, and that it was time. Now, I didn't want to move back. I have lived all over the world. And I have never gone back. That's not true. I've gone back to Hawaii. I've gone back to California in different locations. But I guess it's true. I've never gone back to the same area even. Even Hawaii was a different island. I've never really gone back. It's not really my forte. I want to experience something new. But the message came from the mother, and it was very clear. It was a very clear, intuitive hit. It was very clear guidance. It's time to move back. To help you understand a little bit deeper, like I said, I don't want to move back. I didn't want to move back. I don't really like cold weather. In fact, I don't like it at all. And Colorado definitely has cold weather. I really like the temperature of Northern California, that very temperate environment. And I like to live around a lot of nature. And yeah, I have my preferences. I also find the temperature swings and the altitude to be a little bit more challenging in Colorado. So when this intuitive hit came through, I was not ecstatic. I was not excited. I was actually grumpy. And I often like to refer to this part of myself as a, you know, there's like a tantrum energy. And I've experienced this many times with my clients, where there's a part of you that wants to throw a tantrum, say, I don't want this. And what I've learned about that energy is it's a really powerful energy to move towards. It's some of our strongest subconscious resistance that will internally, psychologically throw a quote unquote tantrum and just push away from something. So through my experience with this version of myself, I was well aware that not only did I know very clearly that this intuitive hit was correct and that's what needed to happen, but also the level of resistance that was coming through also validated the power of taking action on that. So I have also learned that when I'm told to do something and it's a clear intuitive hit, that it is in my highest interest, in my best interest to do it, because to avoid it, push it away, not do it, make up excuses, whatever it is, will create discomfort and potentially a great deal of discomfort. This is something I've always just intuitively known, even when I was a child. And I've been validated over the years. Anytime that I didn't listen, I got walloped, is the terminology I use for hitting a great deal of challenge, suffering, discomfort. So I've learned that when I hit those intuitive hits, okay, I know I need to take action on that. And then again, the level of resistance that showed up immediately also validates really the potential of personal growth and ultimately service that I will experience through that action. Because when we hit that tantrum, you're hitting deep subconscious beliefs of self, things that you're radically attached to that say, this is who I am, and I can't allow for that, because that would challenge who I believe myself to be. Ah, that is so delicious. I hope you can feel that, because I just felt it. And I get emotional, because there have been times in my life where I've hit that resistance and questioned myself. Is this what I should be doing? Because of those attachments to identity. But time and time again, as I have somehow had this very naive / courage, because I don't know, is it naivety? Is it courage? Could be both. And taken that action, I have been so blessed by what my life then unfolded into. So I got the message, had the tantrum, and it didn't feel like it was going to happen right away. It felt like next year. But I said, okay, I said I would do it. I set the intention. And we moved through summer, and then we came into fall, and it really started to crystalline, because I didn't have a timing initially. And, you know, my partner really trusts me and my process and the creative process that I go through. And so And also, he is a man and he's a logical mind and he's very linear and, you know, all of the beautiful aspects of the left brain. He, you know, okay, when are we going? You know, and it's like, I don't know yet. And he can trust that. And then it'll be like, okay, when are we going? I don't know yet. So we went through the summer and into the beginning of fall with just like, it'll happen when it happens. And I'm really handing over, quote unquote, handing this over to the mother that she guide me through this process. I've said yes, and I trust that she will guide me per the highest good of all is always my heart's intention. It's a very powerful statement that I always invite my clients and anybody who's willing to use, because it really is the statement, the higher good of all serves you first and foremost and serves the whole. It's the power of love. So we moved into the fall and I started to feel, okay, I'm feeling May 2024. So I started to bring that in. It started to like really crystalline where it feels like, because what happens in the, let me back up just a sec. What happens in the creative process is we first get this hit. And, you know, I've oftentimes made the mistake of like, oh, okay, let's do that right now. But what you'll find is if you try to act upon that energy of that first hit, it just dissolves right underneath you. Like it just dissolves. It's gone. And you're like, wait, what happened? It was so clear and strong. And there was so much creative life force energy. And then like the floor fell out from underneath me. Well, that's because it was just a seed being planted. And if you know anything about gardening, you plant the seed and then it appears that there's not a whole lot going on for quite some time. And that's the creative process. So those first initial hits are the seed. And then as we continue to water the seed through our intention and our actions and our surrender into trust, it begins to unfold beneath the surface, meaning outside of our awareness, right? So we went through months and months where nothing really seemed to be happening. I didn't have any sense of when we would be moving, but I held the intention very strongly in my heart. I spoke of it. We're moving back. This is happening. Don't know when yet. Took action on already very loosely beginning to, you know, go in that direction. And then come fall, okay, you know, a little sprout pops up out of the ground and it's like, oh, okay, we've really got something now. It's beginning to crystallize into physical form because the creative process starts always energetic and then it starts to come into form, all right? So May 2024 was the month. I could feel it. Everything was like, that's when it's happening. So we began to, all right, that's when it's happening. And my partner got really excited. And then he was like, okay, well, let's go sooner. And I was like, no, we're not going sooner. We're going in May. And, okay, but what about now? Let's go. Like, no. It's May. And I say this out of absolute love for him. And again, he trusts me and understands. And so, and I allow him, you know, there's an allowance for both of us. Like he's welcome to continue to, you know, attempt to create it in any way. And if I really feel that, then we will, if it shifts, we'll follow that shift because it can shift. It can absolutely shift. And oftentimes we can jump the gun or we can be impatient or we can try to create it sooner than it wants to happen per divine orchestration. And boy, has this not been a lesson for me because I am not a person of great infinite patience. I have always been a very impatient person and I have been taught throughout my years patience in so many different ways. And one of those ways is in the process of creation. It truly is not up to us, just as creating a baby is not up to us. It's going to happen as it's going to happen. My oldest son came a month early with no sign. Everything was totally normal. And then my water broke and there he came. So it was one of those circumstances where, you know, yeah, sure, we have an idea about how long it takes for a baby to be created. And it still happens on its own timeline, you know, let alone something much more obtuse that doesn't have, you know, an exact timeline of creation. We have to be much more aware, consciously aware of ourselves, of anywhere that we are trying to push, force, shift, reroute, whatever it is, because fundamentally we don't trust that it will happen through divine orchestration. Okay. Now, divine orchestration only happens when we are taking action towards it, right? We can't just simply do nothing and expect things to appear. Action is how creative life force energy is actualized into physical form. So we have to always be setting intention and taking action. And then releasing attachment, releasing expectation of how it's going to show up and when it's going to show up. So, you know, he would get excited and it was like, no, it's just not ready yet. And he was under a lot of stress as well. And that stress was really hitting him. And then, you know, we had something happen where it kind of threw a wrench in what we were doing. He had two jobs. He was saving up money for our move. And one of those jobs was lost. And it was like, from his perspective, oh shit, now we got to go right now. That was in February. And it was, no, we're not doing that. We're going in May. And I'll be really clear. Every time this happened, I did feel into it. Like, the part of the process of trust and ultimately of surrender faith is to always be in a state of curiosity and checking in. So when that happened, I would check in with the Ma. When is this happening? I just kept hearing May. So it's like, okay, nope, it's not happening now, even though seemingly things are falling apart. And so we got to rush and get there, right? And you can see how external circumstances will oftentimes put this pressure on our trust. And I had to stand really strong. And again, my partner trusts me. And I said, no, it's not time yet. We have to trust that this will all happen perfectly. And so we carried forward. And we got to April, and it was like, I don't know, maybe we're not going yet, you know? And it was like, well, maybe we should stay here for the summer. And that was what my partner was saying. And I was feeling into it. And I was like, no, she just keeps saying May. And then we got to mid-April and just pop. Everything shifted and the wave picked us up from underneath. And it was like, now you're going. And here we are. We're going to be arriving in Colorado on the 28th of April. So the very last week of April and May. And it's been very beautiful because everything has lined up so perfectly, so beautifully. My partner almost immediately got a job in Colorado that's paying for us to move. Situations with our other families that live there have been just lining up and locking in. We were on a month-to-month with the current house that we rent. we had agreed to give him 90 days. And so when this happened, we're like, wow, we're going to be leaving in 2 weeks. We told him that we were leaving and we said, we'll stand behind our word and hopefully you'll get somebody in, because otherwise we're going to be paying 90 days of rent and we're not going to be there, which is a substantial amount of money. But we are of integrity and we stand behind our word. And it was like immediate that he was just like, you don't need to do that. It's all good. And he's got another renter that's coming in right away. It's just divine orchestration. Because that was the other thing of it. As we were reaching closer to May, my partner was like, well, we have to give 3 months notice. And it was like, I know. And it just didn't feel like it was there yet. The wave hadn't picked us up yet. So it was like still getting May, but both of us were hesitant to give the 3 months. And it was just like, we don't know what's happening. And again, I get emotional because it is just such a beautiful practice to be connected to yourself and the Ma, to Source, to God, to the wisdom, whatever you want to call it, where you can live in this way, because the magic, the miracles, the way that life will open up for you will drop your jaw. I've often spoken about divine orchestration because it's one of my favorite conversations, because I have been floored so many times, both in a process like this, where I've stuck to what I am told and it just bam happens. And also, I've often been shown hindsight out of the blue in a meditation. My higher self will come and show me all of the different things. I just get total bliss lit right there. My higher self will show me all of the things that came together and the different times in my life that something happened that all came together to create this one thing. And it always is just amazing. Like, I wouldn't have put the dots together. And as soon as my higher self shows me the way it's all intricately orchestrated, it's amazing. It makes so much sense. It's like a very, like, you can see it. And, you know, of course, none of us have been taught to live this way. We've all been taught to live very logically. So the logical path would have been, well, okay, we're moving out there, let's go. And then, you know, we probably would have went last summer or in the fall. And then, okay, maybe if we would have stuck around for longer than that, as soon as he lost that one job, it would have been like, okay, now we go. And the 3 months and all of the different ways the logical mind kept trying to come in and say, no, but no, no, no. See, let me show you the logic. And the logic isn't jiving with what you're saying. Now, the interesting thing is it actually does when you see all of it. But oftentimes the mind is hyper-focused on a particular point of logic. And the mind doesn't always see that there's actually many streams of logic and many different ways to see one particular experience. And so logic, as much as we like to think that there's only one logical way to see something, that's not completely true. But it doesn't really matter, because our logical minds were not created to guide us. They were not created to intuitively guide us through life. That is the job of our higher selves, who literally can see more. Our logical minds cannot see divinity, divine orchestration, and all the different aspects of self that are working together to create something. The logical mind is actually there to apply the information that we receive through our intuition to our physical everyday life. But we've been so rooted in our logical, analytical mind that we've given it all of this power that it honestly never asked for and doesn't do well with. If you've ever like overthought about something and what if'd yourself, and well, what if this happens? What if this happens? That's the logical mind attempting to divinely orchestrate. All it can do is what if. And all it can what if from is the information that it already has. But your mind is like a computer. It is programmable. We program our minds. We teach ourselves. We are taught. And some of that teaching is actual learning, and some of that teaching is life experience. And so your mind will go into all of that information, all the experiences you've had and what you know, and it'll be like, well, okay, according to this and this and this and this, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And it cannot see all of the potentials. That is what the higher self does. And therefore, it's extremely limited. And therefore, it is not truly beneficial to listen to your logical mind, what if yourself, and try to foresee the future. If you find yourself in that state, just breathe into your body, tell your mind, thank you, I'm so grateful that you brought me all this information. How about you focus on how to do this one action right now? Give your mind something to do. So it can apply its brilliance. Your mind is brilliant. Apply it, but don't apply it to foreseeable futures because that is not where it belongs. That's in your higher self. That's in your heart. And that is in your body, in your wisdom. So you have to sink into your heart and connect to information that far surpasses the mind's ability. And then as that logical mind comes in, goes, yeah, but, thank you, mind. I hear you. I'm so grateful for you. Why don't you apply yourself here? And if you need to, give it something to do. This is why people love things like mundane tasks of washing dishes, cleaning. If you give your mind something to apply your body to, right, then you open up your consciousness to the higher self, to streams of consciousness. So give your body something to do, an action, and apply the mind to it. It works especially well if it's not something that you can completely disassociate from. You have to think a little bit, but you don't have to concentrate really, really hard. Those are the ideal actions when your mind is just overdoing it, okay? And preferably, you want to learn how to slow your mind through meditation so that you know and have, you know, the lever of your mind, like calm the mind down, breathe it, relax it. And then, okay, now mind, come into those higher states so that we can use you. So this process is really about understanding the difference between intuition and actual guidance from higher self and the mind, and that they both have roles. Higher self is not there to apply your body to an action. Higher self doesn't have any control over your body. So higher self can't get your body to do anything. That's what your logical mind is for. Higher self isn't there to analyze, should I cross the road right now? Should I turn right? Higher self can guide you in a bigger picture, but those very minute decisions are of the mind. And the mind is not here to know how something is going to be created or when. That is the higher self. So just really understanding the jobs and the roles really of those two things will help you to grant permission that is appropriate to the higher self and grant permission that is appropriate to the mind. We don't ever generally grant, you know, other things to the higher self that aren't appropriate. It's just not how we work. But we do tend to grant a lot of permission to the mind that is just not what it's here for. And then through that process of understanding the difference between those two, then it's about breathing into your body and trusting. So trust is the understanding that it will all work out, right? So for instance, I had the information that it was going to happen in May. Okay, that's information I'm getting, which is very crystal clear in my being. I know it's going to happen in May. And if it doesn't, I will be given other information, usually before that time. And so that's the trust that it's all going to work out and sometime it'll happen as long as I'm holding the intention and I'm taking action. Faith is much bigger than that. Faith is saying that everything is perfect. And faith is really of the heart. Faith is the understanding that even when things go quote unquote wrong, like we had the wrench thrown into the system, that can oftentimes really have you question your own trust, right? Like, I don't know, is it going to work out? But faith says it's all perfect. This is happening for a reason, which it absolutely was. It was so perfect. And just allowing everything to move through, allowing everything to move, because you understand that whatever happens is perfect. And it doesn't really matter. Which is a very high level of consciousness and ability to see life. It's not apathy. It's far from apathy. Apathy is like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't even need to show up because what's the point? Whereas faith is like, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm taking action. I'm enjoying. I'm creating consciously in alignment with the stream of consciousness that moves through me, the creative life force energy that moves through me. And simultaneously, I can let go of the outcome, the perceived outcome, the perceived external reality, because I know it's all perfect. So vibrationally, they are absolutely on different spectrums. And so that's faith. And it's really both are required, trusting in the process, trusting yourself, the information that you're given. And then, of course, faith in the overall picture. And it's always about taking action. So back to the tantrum version of me, because higher self is really asking me to bring that up again. I've hit that many times throughout this, you know, year of creating this, where that part of me shows up and says, I don't want to. And I love on that part of myself. It's like I grab that part of myself and I give it a hug and I tell her, I love you so much and I hear you. And tell me, why don't you want to? And I listen. And she says, because of this and because of this and because of this. I don't want to. And I listen to all of her fears and all of her beliefs. And I see myself on a deeper level. I see the subconscious fears and belief structures and identity that are creating the tantrum. And I love that version of myself. But I listen. I don't push it away. I don't say it doesn't matter. We're doing it anyways. And I also don't identify with it. I've already identified with it. But what I mean is, as it comes up, I don't say, oh my God, you're so right. Self, who's identified with limiting beliefs, I can't do this. This resistance is too much. This must be pushing me away for a reason. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to go there. I clearly can't, or I clearly whatever. Don't let that happen either. Because I have absolute conviction that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So even though all those fears and limiting beliefs, all that arises, it's not going to stop me from continuing to take action in that direction while simultaneously holding that version of myself, loving that version of myself, listening to that version of myself. And I will literally create in my mind a character. Like, let me see her. Let me see the version of me that's throwing the tantrum. I'm a very visual person. I actually have all of the clairs, the visual, the feeling, the sensing, the hearing, which everybody does. And you can cultivate all of them. But you initially start with a couple of them. So if you aren't a visual, you can call the person, the version of you, this is you, call you in and feel her. Feel the version of you that's throwing the tantrum, okay? Or know that that version of you is in front of you, however you work with energy. So I can see her, and that's when I sit there in my meditation and I see her in front of me, and she is frustrated and, oh, she doesn't want this, and she wants to push away, right? And that's where I lean in and love her. And I will literally go through meditation in that practice with myself. And I had to do that several times throughout this. Every time she showed up, I created space for her. And that's really important, because if you just try to not listen, sometimes it just gets louder, because it is a fear. It is a belief that is in your psychic, in your subconscious mind. It needs to be heard. It's trying to keep you safe. You're not listening. I'm trying to keep you safe. Let me get louder. When all you need to do is, okay, sit down. I always think of these versions of myself as a child or a younger, an adolescent. Oftentimes it shows up as an adolescent. If an adolescent was telling me, I don't want to, I'm scared, I wouldn't just shut the door and be like, too bad. I would sit down with that person and have a conversation, hear them. So do that for yourself. Create the space for the version of you that is freaking out. Hold, listen without identification, realizing that it's just a limitation that you've had upon yourself. And you're doing what you're doing right now. You're being asked to do what you're being asked to do to literally transform that version of you. So you have to face it in order to transform it. It's not really about, this whole thing isn't really about me moving back to Colorado. I mean, there's a lot there, but it's really about facing this part of myself that says I don't want to. That's where the transformation happens. That's where the blossoming to the next level, the next version of me occurs. Not through the moving of location. That all has relevancy, but it's not the core. The core is that which we hold on to with regards to our identity of who we believe that we are, that is limiting us, stopping us, holding us, suppressing us, depressing us from the next level, next bigger, brighter, stronger version of ourself. So create that space here and then tell that version of yourself, I hear you and you're safe, you're safe, you're safe. Come with me. We'll do this together. And I'll show you that you're safe. I'm here with you. I will not abandon you. I will not shut the door on you. I will not bypass you. I will not avoid you. I am right here with you. You, my love, have to be there for yourself. You need to show up for you. You are the only one that needs to show up for you. You are the only one. that needs to support and love you. Everything else is icing on the cake that will happen very beautifully. But you need you. You are the one that you seek. You are the one that you need. And these are the moments that we are granted, gifted, the opportunity to show up and say, I'm here. Hear you. I got you. Let's do this together. I'm here. I hear you. I got you. Let's do this together. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. I love you. You're angry. You're upset. I love you. You hate me. I love you. You want to scream on the floor? I love you. I'm here. I won't leave you. I've got you. That is one of the most powerful things you can ever do for yourself. That's what creates trust. That's what creates deep conviction, courage, and a sense of, I am safe. I am supported no matter what happens outside of me. Because you are showing up for you. So if you experience non-support by other people, non-support by family, non-support by friends, non-support, if you experience unsafety, if you experience lack of security, this is huge for you. Please heed what I say. Because until you show up for yourself, you will continue to create those things externally. And as you show up for yourself, wow, your external reality will show up so beautifully for you. People will show up for you. All of the support, the security, the safety will be there because you created it in yourself, from yourself to yourself. Okay, my loves, thank you so much. I hope this has given you some insight, some inspiration about how to live the surrendered life, how to flow with your intuition, how to take action and trust yourself through the process of creation, through the process of unfolding your unique brilliance. If this resonated with you and you know somebody who could benefit from this, please share. Please share this podcast as much as possible. This is a free resource. I'm showing up and I love having other people on the other side of this that make it possible for this to happen. So please share as much as possible this episode or any of the episodes. And as always, the solo episodes are on Tuesday and the guest episodes are on Thursday. Thank you so much. I love you. I am so grateful that you are here with me. Blessed be you. Until next time.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.